budget reserve and the mental health trust income account. We heard a lot of complaints about cutting the budget too much, the operating budget. We heard that we were doing the wrong thing by cutting the budget too much. We have a capital budget that's a little more than last year, granted, I would admit that. And then we have a schools budget that just passed about 17-3, I think it was. So I'm not really sure what the point is, but I can say that we have used part of that $630 million. Now, money is a fungible thing. Kind of, once you put it in the bank, you kind of can't tell what the 630 still is, okay? And we started out with, we brought money from the previous year into this year, and the way I look at it, I guess that's the money we spent. Now, if you want to look at it that the first dollar we spent being the 630, I guess you could look at it that way. But the fact of the matter is, we still have in our statutory budget reserve carry forward over $300 million combined with our mental health reserve for a total reserve of 479.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. The co-chair of finance there asked what was wrong, and I'm happy to rise to tell him that his priorities are wrong and his sense of proportion is wrong when it comes to combined state spending and what the proposals from the majority will do in the coming fiscal year. If given the chance to refuse to concur in a budget that does what I believe is real violence to poor women and children, the aged, the blind, and the disabled, I'm going to take that opportunity and relish my opportunity one more time to say no to the wrong kind of priorities. The minority here, I don't think, is arguing that too little was cut. I think we've argued that you've cut in the wrong places. You know, I have made this part of my speech before, Mr. President, that the seniors got theirs back through all kinds of struggles between the House and Senate. The veterans got theirs back, and some, in the rush to make that constituency happy and to forget all about the things that the majority started out doing in this legislative session. But the poor folks didn't get theirs back. We, in fact, turned away federal money to help pay for the basic needs of people in need. That's what's wrong with this budget. The priorities are all screwed up. When you pick on the wrong people, the most defenseless Alaskans, and it outrages me every time that I'm faced with it. The hunger for concrete and steel around this place is truly frightening, Mr. President. The combined operating and capital budgets, you know, are reminiscent of the early 80s, the early oil boom, and I'm afraid we're setting ourselves up for another fall, another crash, a bust in the Alaskan economy. Because our sense of proportions are wrong in this budget. We've gone too far with the capital spending. I know Governor Hickel loves to build things. His attraction to concrete and steel is pretty enormous. And I knew that when the other party took over both bodies of the legislature, that that was a potent combination. I never dreamed that it would be this potent, Mr. President, for combined state spending with all sources of funds to exceed $5 billion. You know, we're not bringing in enough revenue to sustain that kind of spending over the future. It exceeds our ability to pay and to sustain that into the future, and I think we're setting ourselves up for a fall. So it's in response to what's wrong, it's your priorities and it's your sense of proportion of sustainable state spending. They're both way off the mark.
Senator Phillips?
Well, Mr. President, I think we better just take a look at the overall picture instead of just taking bits and pieces here. First, we have the energy, the Railbelt Energy Fund, which is about $150 million. That fund's been around for 8 years, and in fact, half of it was spent about 3-4 years ago, and not necessarily on the intertie or energy needs of the rail belt. Then we have the Exxon monies here. And some of the people here who voted for that have projects that they supported that's in here. Then we have a budget that's approximately $24 million less than last year's actual, which is about a 1% reduction. Then we have a capital budget around, I think it's 324, which is close to what we spent last year. Problem is the circumstances in which these different pots of money have come together. Basically, Exxon has come together at the same time as the Rail Belt Energy Fund. Now, whether you want to count that or not, that's up to the members. Then we have the school legislation here. Big pressure from all quarters here to spend that $680 million out of the Constitutional Budget Reserve account. I might add again, it was a 17-3 vote. I don't know whether you can call it fortunate or unfortunate, but all these pots of money have come together at the same time this year. And depending on how you want to account for it, you can say we spent $5 billion or $4 billion or whatever you want to say. But I just think that we have, as a majority, the majority caucus here, have accomplished what our constituents want, and that's reducing the operating budget. I also know my constituents want to spend the $150 million Rail Belt fund for the energy needs of the Rail Belt, not on the operating budget. The Exxon Valdez funds, that's something that we have to deal with sooner or later, and it just happened that we dealt with it this year. And then we have another bill coming up on the Alyeska funds to deal with. We can say we're spending a whole lot of money, but a lot of these pots of money just happen to come this year.
Senator Catula.
The budget before us is a pretty conservative budget, and you can argue priorities, and I think justifiably you could argue those. But it's the fact that while we were busy holding a line or saving money there, we expended and overexpended in another area that is still budget, but just doesn't have to be this particular portion of the budget. I mean, we did not have $150 million in the intertie. My memory from last year is not listed here. We probably had about $108 or something like that in the interties. There were additional interties that were added by this body. That's part of the capital expenditures. Some of it's loan. Nonetheless, 50-year loans at no interest is pretty significant. We also provided for, really, over the objections of the people that were involved in the negotiations, we provided for such projects as the Whittier Road, $15 million, probably an extremely low priority, really, compared to other needs. We provide for the San Zimino Hydro project. It may be a very good one, but that's just an additional port. So far as I can tell at this moment, it didn't have any particular prioritization except maybe a heavy priority from the members of the body here. Those are the sort of projects that ate up the savings, and I could list dozens of them. I got a whole page here. But they ate up the savings that were made in the operating budget. It just took and wiped them out. And we didn't have enough discipline to say stop at some location in the budget figure. I think probably the governor will do that now. Again, if the income does come to 1825, I'll be surprised. It's run for the last 5 years at about 1750. And I guess right now, mid-case is, what, 1840. I'm rather doubtful. I think maybe we got $100 million too much in that figure. That's just what I think. Bill before us, though, was what we're really addressing tonight. It's a pretty conservative bill. And maybe the prioritization is somewhat wrong, depending on our point of view. But all the other expenditures added in do set us up to make it look like a picnic. And that was where the mistake was. The mistake was not going to conference committees, not arguing them out there in full light of day in every way possible, and coming up with a spending plan that only allocated X funding to that process.
Senator Salo?
Thank you, Mr. President. I think one thing we better anticipate as we deal with this operating budget is what future operating budgets are going to be. And I think after the capital budget spending spree that we've gone on, we better anticipate that the operating costs in the future are going to be higher. You don't build a new road without needing a few new graders and the people who operate them. You don't build a lot of new schools without needing extra janitors, extra secretaries, and the people who run those schools. And I think that we better be realistic about the future in this state, unless we're building totally useless monuments that sit there, is we're building capital projects that are going to take additional operating funds in the future. And we can't expect to squeeze that operating budget on the backs of the poor and the needy year after year. It just won't work. So we better be realistic about the future.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want, you know, I've heard some very interesting arguments and justifications for spending money, but the gentleman from Eagle River's reason for spending money really is a unique one. These pots of money just all happen to come together. It all happened to be there, and you know, it wasn't our fault. They just appeared, and so we had to spend it. Well, and that was $5 billion, $5.1 billion. All I can say is it's a good thing we didn't have $10 billion, or we had a hard time finding projects to spend that money on. That would have been a lot of work.
Question before the Senate. Senator Lincoln.
Mr. President, in looking at this budget, and trying to figure out where the money is, where it went, it is truly what one would refer to as a shell game, because as the co-chair of finance said, you know, it depends on how you add it, how you subtract it, what's the forwarding amount, what's your carry forward, what's your balance at the end, and it really is a shell game when you try and figure out where these dollars are. But I can hardly think that, as in a bank that was used as an example, that we still can't say that we have of the $680 million X number of dollars left, not if you use it here or if you use it there, if you put it on in balance sheet C, then we get a different figure. And I get real concerned that if we didn't get that $680 million settlement, would this budget have been different? Would we then be looking at another bottom line? If we didn't project at $18.25 a barrel for oil, would then this bottom line be different? I can think of not very long ago, a couple of years back, when we were talking about oil dropping and that we better not use the figure of $18 and I don't know what it was, $18.10 or something at that point, that we better be looking at a lower figure per barrel. Now we're going from $17.96 a barrel, and our projections, I guess, are $18.25 a barrel. I don't know if this is really living within our means. I think that this is just saying that we've got the money, we should spend it all while we've got it, put all of these projects out there, and then we'll worry about next year when it comes around. Let's not worry about it this year. Let's just spend everything we have. Instead, when we should be talking about truly economic development, how is the state going to look 5 years from now, 10 years from now, for economic development where money is coming in, that we're not always looking at this $18.25 per barrel? We've got a lot of unmet needs still out there. We still haven't resolved our mental health trust. There's a lot of large issues that we have not dealt with. And I believe that for us to pass this budget is irresponsible when we are just spending what we got because we happen to have this windfall. We've got to look at the future. We've got to plan for that. And I don't believe that this budget reflects a plan for the future for Alaskans.
Question before the Senate is final passage, committee substitute, House Bill 55. Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise tonight quite frustrated with the process under which this budget has been developed. Much of the budget subcommittee work was done behind closed doors, at least in my budget subcommittee. I know it's true. And additionally, much of the work at the Finance Committee level, where we had didn't have proportional representation, was done behind closed doors without our minority member present. And I'm very concerned, Mr. President, that this lack of public involvement and the public's right to know will be perpetuated into next session. I can only hope, Mr. President, that this situation will change next session, that we will have a more open process, and one under which we will have proportional representation in following the rules in order to make our budget work better.
Senator Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, just zeroing in on the operating budget, in addition to the overall spending problems, if it wasn't for the reduction in debt service, which this legislature can't take credit for because that was something that was going to happen this year, it was on a downward curve of, I think it was about $54 million less, there's no question that the operating budget would have gone up significantly. And that's what really worries me, because the operating budget, as we all know, is the hardest part of the budget to get reductions in. And we just simply are going to have to face up to that. I'm disappointed we couldn't hold that line, especially because we can't always count on debt service continuing to decrease. In fact, it may in fact increase given the some of the debt that we've also incurred in this particular spending plan. So we really need to get a grasp on that, and I don't think we can really honestly go home and say we got to control the operating budget, because it went up with the exception of the debt service, and we can't claim credit for the debt service going down. So I'm very concerned for the long run of that trend, and that's something that I think we really have to focus in on next year to try to turn that around.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have made it a personal point to thank members of the press for not referring in reports on this legislative session an action taken to cut benefits to the poorest citizens of the state, welfare reform. There was an attempt made in press releases and when the big fight was going on between the leadership of the two bodies over what were necessary for an adjournment package. There was repeated reference by the majorities to welfare reform, meaning the cuts to those Alaskans. And I pointed out before how other constituency groups who may be more important at the ballot box got their monies restored, but the poor people didn't. So I just wanted to note that and really thank again publicly the folks who didn't fall for that propaganda. And finally, Mr. President, the senator from Eagle River spoke following my initial remarks and talked about money here and money there, and said you can count it any way you want to. Well, you know, it's a responsible thing and an intelligent and rational thing to count it all up to see where we are with overall state spending. And I would just bring up another quote from the Capitol that occurred from a member of the majority who worked on this budget, and it was an article about some folks were trying to make that distinction that comes along from the other side every year about operating budget bad, capital budget good, but I was really surprised with the candor that came through in those remarks that were quoted in the Anchorage Daily News from the co-chair of finance, that we will be judged by the bottom line, meaning total state spending, operating, and capital combined. And so that was the test that was put out by this majority to judge you by the bottom line, total state spending. And I think that the judgment will be quite negative and quite severe, because when you add up the bottom line, it's not sustainable. We can't even afford it in this given fiscal year when our revenues materialize at a lesser amount than is being optimistically projected here in this budget plan. It's a plan that doesn't work, and it's not a plan that puts us in a good position for the future.
Before the Senate is final passage committee conference committee substitute House Bill 55. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the conference committee report on House Bill 55 has been adopted, thus adopting conference committee substitute for House Bill 55. Senator Kelly, the effective date?
I move the effective date clause.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of the effective date clause on conference committee substitute for House Bill 55. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So the effective dates on conference committee substitute for House Bill 55 have been adopted by the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas to 0 nays. Madam Secretary, the next special committee report.
Report dated May 11th. Mr. President, the conference committee considering CS presented by 165 AM and House CS for CS presented by 165 Finance recommends that conference CS presented by 165 an act making an appropriation of the Alyeska Settlement Fund and making appropriations from the Alyeska Settlement Fund, making amending and repealing operating capital appropriations and providing for an effective date to be adopted. Report was signed by Senator Frank, Chair, Senators Pearson, Jaroff, Representative Larson, Chair, Representative Krusendorf and McLean.
Senator Taylor?
Yes, I move that the report on conference committee substitute for Senate Bill number 165 be adopted and recommend the members vote yes.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of conference committee substitute, Senate Bill 165. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so conference committee substitute, Senate Bill 165, has passed the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas to 4 nays. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Conference committee substitute Senate Bill 165 will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Senator. Will the Senate please come back to order?
Mr. President.
That brings us down to introduction of Senate bills. Madam Secretary.
Senate Bill number 218 by Senator Pierce, an act relating to contributions to candidates for public office and relating to what is a political organization, as that term is used in the laws related to charitable gaming.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
Those are all the Senate bills tonight.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, may we return to introduction of guests?
Without objection, we're under introduction of guests, Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. I haven't had this opportunity at this session. When everybody on the first day was introducing their wives, mine would come. But she never wants to miss a good party, so she came tonight. Everybody introduced my wife, Cinder Ziggler, Gary, my wife, Charlotte.
We also have citations on the calendar. Would the secretary read citations so we can do that?
Citations honoring Anne Marie Clark, Senators Miller, Lehman, Lincoln, Donnelly, Pierce, Donnelly, Jaroff, honoring Benton Moore, Senators Lincoln, Donnelly, Duncan, Ellis, Little, Lehman, Jaroff, honoring Sandy Vandergraaff, Senators Donnelly, Pierce, Duncan, Lehman, Jaroff, in memoriam, Charlie Craigler, Senators Pierce, Duncan, Lincoln, honoring Ruth Ann Johnson, Senators Little, Donnelly, Pierce, Duncan, Lehman, Ellis, Lincoln, Jaroff, honoring Dana Crum, Senators Little, Phillips, Donnelly, Pierce, Duncan, Lehman, Ellis, Lincoln, and Jaroff, in memoriam, Robert Van Brocklin, Senators Lincoln, Cotulla, Jackal, Pierce, Duncan, Adams, Lehman, Ellis, Little, and Jaroff, in memoriam, Rose Kulik, Senators Donnelly, Pierce, Duncan, and Lehman.
Senator Taylor?
Move and ask unanimous consent. Citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations appearing on today's calendar are approved by the Senate. That brings us down to unfinished business. Senator Taylor?
I move that we bring up sponsor substitute House Bill 126 out of the pending file.
Without objection, sponsor substitute House Bill 126 is before us. Madam Secretary?
Sponsor substitute House Bill number 126, an act establishing the current prevailing rate of wages issued at least 10 days before the final submission of bids as the prevailing wage rate for public construction projects. and requiring periodic adjustment of the wage rate.
Question before the Senate is final passage, sponsor substitute House Bill 126. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so sponsor substitute House Bill 126 has passed the Senate on reconsideration by a vote of 20 yeas to zero nays. Senator Taylor.
From the pending file, I call up House Bill 181.
Madam Secretary.
House Bill number 181 amended, an act relating to states' right to appeal in criminal cases relating to sentence appeals, amending Rule 202 of the Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure and providing for an effective date.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, every time we get into these rules of amending court rules, I always want to know for sure what we're doing. And I probably knew a week ago when we put this away, but could someone explain it to me again, please?
Senator Taylor.
What this does.
Yes, what this does, it allows the state almost an equal option in appeal as concerns the sentence of a convicted person, in that they now would have an option to bring that appeal where before they did not. It also, if I remember correctly, amended a portion of the magistrate code or the district court level code so that appeals could be taken in that area where they technically had not been allowed before. That's my rough recollection. I don't have the bill before me. Maybe Senator Donnelly can help.
Mr. President, yeah, the bill also removes just a procedural roadblock for the prosecutors to the appeal that's there. It really is not necessary, but it makes them jump through an extra hoop, some more paperwork, some more expense. This takes that away, gives them the same standing as the defense on those. In substance, the prosecutors file special paperwork, and they generally get that permission anyhow. So this hopefully will save us some resources in the Department of Law.
Question before the Senate is final passage of House Bill 181 amended. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? So House Bill 181 amended has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and zero nays. Senator Taylor, the effect.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on passage of the legislation be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call on final passage of House Bill 181 amended will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
I'd also move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on passage of the legislation be considered the roll call on Alaska rule changes
without,
in the bill.
Without objection, the roll call. Senator Ellis. The question before the Senate is, shall the court rule changes in House Bill 181 amended be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the court rule changes have passed by a vote of 17 yeas to 3 nays. Senator Taylor?
I move and ask unanimous consent that the. Wait a minute, what are we
You're doing? On the next bill.
That's what I thought. Well, I've been looking up there at that one. I was going to call up House Bill 211, amended Senate from the pending file, what I stood up to.
This is the one you need right now. Senator Pierce?
At this time, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross sponsor on House Bill 211, amended Senate.
Without objection, so ordered. Senator Taylor as well. Madam Secretary. Senator Donnelly as a cross-sponsor.
House Bill number 211-MS, an act relating to municipal tax exemption for inventories intended for export.
Senator Curtula.
You want to be very careful when you give away your school tax capability. tough fight 25 years ago to make sure that a municipality couldn't give it away and then unfairly compete with an adjoining municipality. That was in the case of industrial use of varying areas within either one of the municipalities. And then, of course, come back to the state for that differential. I think that it's, even in foreign export, we've got to be very careful and give away the basic tax program that supports the schools. We fought hard on this, and I don't think we should ignore it. And I don't think we should set it aside.
Vote of 18 yeas, 2 nays. Will Senate please stand at ease? Will Senate please come back to order?
Mr. President.
Senator Taylor.
Yes, I'd move at this time that we take up in second reading of House Resolutions, HCR 19.
HCR 19 appears on the
calendar. Page 3.
Without objection, we have HCR 19 before us.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 19 by Representatives Phillips, Barnes, and Menard regulating the sale of state royalty gas. Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas considers the bill reports the back as follows. Senator Lehman, Chair, and Senator Salo sign do pass. Senator Sharp sign no rec. Judiciary waived. Rules Committee considers the bill recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Jacko, Chair, concurring. Senator Salford Rigger, Senator Lewis sign no recommendation. I have no amendments.
Question before the Senate is final passage of House Concurrent Resolution 19. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please lock the roll and record the vote? And so HCR 19 is passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and 0 nays. Would the secretary please read the next item on the calendar? It's the resolution following 19.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 20 by Representatives Mulder and Foster establishing task force on school and military bases. Test committee waived. Rules committee consider the bill. Recommends calendar and due pass. Report signed by Senator Jacko, Chair, concurring. Senator Rigger, Senator Little, Senators Little and Halford sign no recommendation. I have no amendments.
Question before the Senate is shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 20 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Will the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so HCR 20 has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas to 3 nays.
Brief at ease.
Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Jacko.
I'd like to make a motion that House Bill, Committee Substitute, Responsive Substitute for House Bill 249 be waived from the Rules Committee and brought to the floor for both by the body.
Is there objection? With Senator Duncan.
President, I just wanted to be sure that the other members of the body were informed and had it on this conversation I had with you. I believe this bill is very necessary and very important. It has to be taken care of. We normally would not like to do this type of process, but I would recommend to the other members of the minority that we go along with this motion because it is an important piece of legislation that should be passed this session.
Without a Senator Ellis?
Point of inquiry, when did this bill arrive in the Rules Committee?
I don't know, Senator Ellis.
I'd like to pose that question through the chair to the chair of the Rules Committee.
Senator will stand at ease.
Thank you.
Please come back to order, Senator Jacko.
Mr. President, I'd like to withdraw my motion.
Without objection, the motion is withdrawn. Senator Taylor.
Move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate rescind its action in adopting Senate CS or House CS HB 64 Finance amended, that is the stalking bill.
Senator, tell you, first you need to take it out of the pending file.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have done that. I ask to remove from the pending file CS House Bill 64 Finance amended Senate.
Senator Sandinista. Sorry. Senate, back to order. The stalking bill is before us out of the pending file. Senator Taylor?
Yes. I'm going to make a, I wanted to just briefly, if I could, give the body an explanation. There is a defect within the Senate bill. For that reason, I'd like to move at this time to rescind our action in adopting the Senate CS for House Bill 64 Finance. The reason being we would then move back to the House bill, have that House bill before us to act upon. The problem is an amendment made by one of the members only took out a portion that he wished to take out, leaving a sentence in there that kind of troubles the bill. That's the purpose of this motion.
I think Senator, that's okay, but could he just be more specific onto the sentence that troubles the bill? So,
I think it's line 27, page 2. You'll find there's one sentence in there that talks about the constitutional decisions on constitutional law being made.
Senator Adams' amendment, which passed, was applied to a previous version, and it left a sentence inadvertently in the Senate version. Senator Adams.
You are correct, Mr. President. We had a mix-up on the floor. We were looking at state affairs, and some of us should have been looking at the finance version. And basically, on page 2, it left in the two words on a sentence there. You can see it, whether an act of defense is constitutionally protected activity is a question of law to be determined by the court prior to trial. And so I am in agreement that we should take the House Finance version.
Senator Kutula.
I have no argument with that, Mr. President, but I want to say, for all the pressure on getting this bill out of here, the Senate had introduced two different measures many weeks before this bill was introduced. We know it's Michigan law. And the third floor got to playing games with the Senate side and screwed up the deal on this side. That's the reason the bill came over from the House.
The question before the Senate is, shall the Senate rescind our action in adopting Senate Committee Substitute, House Bill 64, Finance? Is there objection to the rescinding motion? Without objection, the rescinding motion is adopted. The bill is back before us in final passage. Senator Taylor.
I believe it's back before us with a new title at this point.
Well, I think now you have to rescind adopting the Senate Committee Substitute.
I think we just did that. That was my motion.
Passage and rescind the CS.
I would move that the Senate rescind. I would move that the Senate rescind its action in adopting the Senate CS for House Bill 64.
So, point of inquiry, by the Senate CS, you mean the floor amended version?
That's correct. So that the board should, in fact, reflect the, as it does now, as it did.
Senator Taylor, would you restate the motion before us?
I'm going to move that we rescind our action in adopting Senate Committee Substitute, House Bill 64 Finance, amended Senate.
Without objection, so ordered. Now we've rescinded the passage and we've rescinded the CS.
Right.
We should have before us the House bill. And there's no motion to adopt a CS, so the bill before us is the House bill. Madam Secretary, would you read the House bill by title?
CS for House Bill 64 Finance, an act creating the crimes of stalking in the first and second degrees and providing penalties for their violation, providing a peace officer with the authority to arrest without a warrant a person the peace officer has reasonably cause to believe has committed stalking, relating to the release before trial of a person accused of stalking, prohibiting the suspension of imposition of a sentence of a person convicted of stalking related to the crime of assault in the third degree and providing for an effective date.
The question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 64, Finance. Is there debate? Senator Donovan.
I believe that in Judiciary Committee, we discussed a letter of intent. We just have a brief at ease and determine whether there is a...
Will the Senate please stand at ease briefly? Will the Senate please come back to order? The question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute House Bill 64, Finance. Senator Donnelly?
Okay, so did we already adopt the letter of intent last time, so we don't need to do it again, or do we need to do it? We'd need to do it prior to adoption, right? All right. Well, I'd move the Judiciary Committee letter of intent.
Senator Donnelly, Mr. President, moves the letter of intent. I have no objection to the letter of intent. It's the letter of intent that came out of the Judiciary Committee. It's in the record. It's in the journals. I haven't been able to locate it right now.
So the question before the Senate is the adoption of the letter of intent, which is somewhere on committee substitute for House Bill 64, Finance. Is there objection? Without objection, so ordered. The question before the Senate is final passage of committee substitute House Bill 64, Finance. Members may proceed to vote. Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so committee substitute House Bill 64, Finance, has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and 0 nays. Senator Taylor, the effective date.
Move and ask unanimous consent that vote on passage of the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call and final passage of committee substitute for House Bill 64, Finance, will be considered the roll call on the effective date clause. Will the Senate please stand at ease? Will the Senate please come back to order?
Mr. President?
Senator Taylor?
I believe that Senate sponsor substitute House Bill 126 is still within the possession of the body. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
At this time, I would move to rescind our action in adopting sponsor substitute House Bill 126. And ask the members to vote yes. This is for as a courtesy to one of our members who would like to go back and change that person's vote.
The question before the Senate is, shall the Senate rescind our action in adopting sponsor substitute House Bill 126? Is there objection? Without objection, our action in passing sponsor substitute House Bill 126 has been rescinded. That brings the question of final passage back before us.
For the members' benefit, sponsor substitute House Bill 126 is an act establishing current prevailing wage rates issued at least 10 days before final submission, etc.
Question before the Senate is final passage, sponsor substitute House Bill 126. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so sponsor substitute House Bill 126 has passed the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas to 3 nays. Senator Taylor.
A brief at ease.
Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Will the Senate please come back to order? At this time, I would like to appoint the two majority and minority leader to inform the House that we are ready to adjourn, and I see we have two members of the House here with information for us.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're here to inform you that the House has concluded this evening, and we wish you all well during the interim, and we will be very happy to await your delegation.
Senator Taylor and Senator Duncan, would you go to the House and tell them that we are ready to adjourn, and we will be proceeding when our delegations have returned? Consent.
Mr. President, there is some other incidental business before we take off. I would like to move to be included as a cross-sponsor on 64. I think others.
Without objection? Senator Rieger as well?
Mr. President, are we coming back to something here?
You are coming back before we actually take the motion to adjourn.
Could I have the privilege of the floor just to give another capital quote, please?
Senator Duncan. You have the privilege of the floor
Thank
for another capital quote.
I just wanted to give another capital quote, and I thought it was appropriate tonight to do this in feeling of good spirit. I quote, Rick, Ramona, with you two in charge, I expect this legislature will get its work done in record time. You may even prove that there's merit to a 75-day session.
There is merit.
Walter Hickel is no Gene Dixon.
Senators, would you wait on the House? And the Senate will stand at ease until our delegation returns. Will the Senate please come back to order?
Mr. President.
Senator Taylor.
Your delegation reported to the House. Wish them Godspeed and a happy interim, and look forward to seeing them back next January 10th.
Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. President. As the youngest member of the Alaska State Senate, I'm both honored and relieved to move that we stand in adjournment until January 10th, 1994.
The Senate is adjourned until January 10th, 1994.